You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. The latest from Congress in a moment, where phones have been ringing off the hook from angry constituents about the financial rescue plan or bailout, whatever you call it. But they're not the only phones that are ringing off the hook. Financial planners around the country have been hearing from people like you with all kinds of nervous questions about the economy.
We have some clients that are very nervous about the market. And we also have, yesterday was the beginning of the first of the calls that we've had from clients that are actually looking to buy in the market.
So are you bailing out or are you looking to buy? Which side do you fall on? Tell us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Adora?
And as you just said, John, the Senate is planning to take a crack at the financial crisis and vote on a slightly revised $700 billion bill with great hopes of course, steadying the markets. And some are wondering if the objections from Americans and members of the House of Representatives really reflects the Bush administration's inability to explain the bill to taxpayers as opposed to opposing the content of the proposal itself.
Bailout, housing bailout, Bear Stearns bailout.
We have a housing crisis, an energy crisis, a health care crisis, and a fiscal crisis.
Mortgage crisis, banking crisis, and a credit crisis.
There are some voices from lawmakers. New York Times Washington correspondent Peter Baker has taken a look at this aspect and joins us now. So, Peter, what do you think? Is it a problem of explaining the bill, or is it really the bill itself?
Well, obviously, I think it's a little bit of both. But you can't get to the substance of the bill unless you can explain it well. And I think that certainly people in Washington yesterday, as they were trying to sift through the wreckage of the vote on Monday, were trying to figure out how they had gone wrong. One of the things they looked at was the perception that locked in very early on from the beginning with the public and that, seeped to Congress, was the idea that this was a bailout for Wall Street fat cats who didn't deserve it, that taxpayer money were going to be used for, you know, corporate tycoons who have been gambling away recklessly and now we're being, given a parachute, if you will. Now, you know, that's an argument in the debate, no question about it. What the administration didn't do in an effective way was explain to people how this package would affect everyday lives.
And so essentially that's the argument for a huge political miscalculation in terms of the language that was used to describe the plan. Lots of debate now about whether it's a bailout or it is a rescue plan.
Well, that's right. You know, I did a Nexus search yesterday to look at, you know, how was this characterized. Hank Paulson, the Treasury Secretary, when he first announced this on September the 19th, he used a phrase. He came up with a name for this idea. He called it the Troubled Asset Relief Program. Didn't have a great ring to it. The acronym TARP didn't exactly catch on. And basically, it was only used like 23 times in the last, 12 days of talk shows and public hearings. But the phrase Wall Street bailout was used more than 500 times in talk shows and public hearings that are transcribed on Nexus. So that gives you a sense of how this was characterized and perceived by the public and therefore by the House.
And so essentially, do you think then, is there argument to be made that better language, better spokespeople, perhaps the bill would have passed the House? And changing the language now, do you think it makes any difference?
Well, shaping perception about something is obviously important in any political fight, particularly the politics of governance in Washington. It's not the only thing, obviously. I mean, look, you know, a lot of people who don't like this package would say, look, it wasn't that the name was wrong. We understand perfectly well what it is, and it's something we don't want. Fair enough. Right now, the thing is, it having so deeply cemented this idea in the public mind that it's something that they don't want, changing it is going to be a lot harder than it would have been had it been framed in a different way from the beginning.
Are the changes in the bill unrelated to the economics, or are they just sort of added because they're kind of populist measures that people will really understand? Tax cuts, insurance, very familiar things.
There's a mix of things going on here. Things are that, A, will appeal to the public, and, B, things that will give a good excuse to those who might be willing to switch their votes to explain why it is that they switched after just a couple of days. You know, when they take a revote on something like this, you know, somebody who votes no doesn't want to turn around and vote yes on something so controversial, especially 5 weeks before an election, unless they can point to something that they can say they did in the bill to make it better. When they go back to their constituents, it's not enough to say, yeah, I changed my mind. You have to go say, I changed my mind because look what I got you. I got you something better.
Got you something better. There's a thought. Peter Baker, thank you.